Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Nothing Special New Year by A.E. Villa, narrated by Aidan Snow. Chapter 1. Mason.
You guys be sure to stay alert out there tonight. I don't want another young life lost from this drug. We have to protect this city or it's going to go down like the damn Titanic. Especially if this next shipment of Halicanax makes it onto the streets.
Their precinct captain pounded his thick fist on the podium stand as he eyed each of them with a seriousness they only saw when he was under pressure from the chief.
The new year is rapidly approaching, and so far we have no leads on the large amount of hallucinogens that's expected to arrive soon and ravage our city.
Mason took a deep breath, wishing that all he had to worry about this new year was making a few resolutions on eating out less and investing more time in his personal life. Instead, he had to worry about a new tidal wave of drug dealers flooding the neighborhoods, pushing a new, highly lethal drug. Mason elbowed his partner, Clark, and muttered near his shoulder,
"So much for an easy week."
"Easy week," Clark grumbled.
The slight twitching of his thick mustache was the only way Mason knew his good friend's lips were moving.
"What the fuck is that?"
Mason snorted, then turned his attention toward his own lieutenant, who was standing along the wall of the huge bullpen with several other department heads. He tilted his chin at something over Mason's shoulder, triggering him to turn around. He swallowed thickly when he saw the City of Atlanta's narcotics task force gearing up in tactical equipment behind the floor-to-ceiling glass that separated their department from the rest of the bullpen. The task force was headed up by badass lieutenants God and Day, two officers who were not only revered and respected throughout the police force, but also notoriously feared on the streets. Sometimes Mason wondered what it would feel like to be a part of that kind of brotherhood. But he never dwelled on it long because he loved working the beat with his partner. So instead he ignored the activity buzzing behind him and focused his attention on his own department's duties.
"Now, you've all received the task force's memo on what they want you to look for out there over the next couple weeks. There's going to be increases in dealer activity and surges in the ERs. Bring them in like they asked. Be diligent. But most of all, be safe."
The captain finished, then turned and walked away without bothering to ask if they had any questions. It didn't matter if they did. He wasn't the man to answer them. He and Clark got up and walked over to their desks that were butted up against each other on the side of the bullpen closest to the task force department. It was almost 7, time for them to get on their beat, but he needed a couple of minutes to complete his vacation request.
"Hell no. Don't you sit down at that computer, Mason," his partner pointed at Mason's ass right before he plopped it down in his chair. "You're gonna make us late, man, and you know I wanted to stop by Orleans for a crawler."
"That's just my vacation request. I'm sure it'll be a piece of cake."
"Or crawler."
Mason chuckled as he opened up their interdepartmental application. It was pretty much the running joke of the precinct how technically challenged he was. Something as simple as creating a new file folder for witness notes could cause Mason's entire system to go haywire. Or so he claimed. He was sure his computer was doing shit on its own and making him look like a fool.
"When are you taking off on me again?" Clark asked,
propping one side of his hip on the corner of his desk.
"I'm only using a few days of my vacation next month. Not all of it," Mason said nonchalantly, though his pulse was already quickening.
He was going to a New Year's singles meet retreat in Mars Hill, North Carolina, that he'd had booked for months. A 4-day weekend of snow, skiing, and plenty of single men. Next year was going to be his fucking year. He was going to have a hot social life to go with his amazing job.
"What's going on that weekend? You going to see your folks?"
Clark asked, then started to groan when Mason began repeatedly hitting his escape key.
"Damn it,"
Mason hissed, cutting his eyes to his partner, then back to his screen.
"Shit, shit, shit. Tab over twice, select the dates I want. Okay, then submit."
Mason clicked the green submit,
but another error popped up, indicating his request could not be sent.
"I know I'm doing this right." "Jesus, I knew it." Clark rolled his eyes. "We're gonna be late."
Ignoring his best friend, Mason shook his head in confusion, unable to see what it was he was screwing up. He had to get his paperwork in early, since he was sure there'd be plenty of married officers trying to get in their forms for Valentine's Day weekend, too. He closed and reopened the application again, but the damn request still stalled.
"Fuck!"
Mason barked, tossing his mouse to the floor. It was his seventh one this month. Officers glanced up from their desks, some stopping in mid-stride of wherever they were headed, and laughed at Mason's obvious predicament.
"Not again, Mason!"
a victim advocate specialist giggled, clutching her clipboard to her chest like a shield.
"Mason, are you sure you have a degree, man? How'd you manage to turn in your college papers? Hand delivery, or did you fax in your assignments? Because I don't even think you know where the power button is on your monitor,"
Tompkin murmured when she stepped over Mason's mouse, shaking her head.
"And by monitor, I mean the computer screen."
Mason rubbed his temples. He didn't give a damn about the teasing. He had thick skin after being a beat cop for 8 years. Besides, the people ribbing him were friends. It was just his computer was possessed. He was sure of it.
"Does anyone know a sixth grader who teaches computers for beginners? I gave Mason the pamphlet for Piedmont Learning Academy, but I think even that's too advanced,"
Officer Vasquez sneered as he walked by with two of his loyal cronies laughing behind him, as if he were Rodney fucking Dangerfield. Now Mason was getting pissed. There was teasing, and then there was being a downright dick. Vasquez was on everyone's shit list, and Mason knew his days as a crooked police officer were numbered.
"Hey, you all right, my friend?"
A smooth, lightly accented voice came from behind him. Mason recognized Lennox Freeman immediately, but he was reluctant to lift his head. The Narcotics Task Force's computer wizard was always coming to his defense, but they kind of did that for each other a lot.
"You need some help?"
"Sorry, Free. I'm trying to submit a vacation request, but it keeps giving me a red X when I hit send,"
Mason said as quietly as he could, but Vasquez still overheard him and started a rambunctious round of laughter from more of his partners.
"A vacation form!"
Free spun around and pinched a scowl in the center of his handsome face, causing a majority of the bullpen to fall silent.
"Vasquez, I did not know about your degree in computational science."
Vasquez frowned.
"In what? That's not what my degree is in, really. But you know the new department software so well that you can mock others."
Free tucked his tablet that never left his side under his arm.
"I am curious to know what you thought of the IT department's memo yesterday on their statistical analysis of workforce management systems for multi-shift companies and big data aggregation trifecta tools."
Vasquez looked as if he was trying to figure out what language Free had just spoken in.
"Analysis of what?"
Free's dark eyes widened in mock outrage.
"Did you say of what? But I just literally told you. Someone get this idiot a pamphlet."
Vasquez's face and neck turned a deep shade of red as everyone, including his own followers, turned the ridicule on him. Vasquez cursed and dismissed the other officers before he leveled Free with a scowl that promised retribution. Mason watched in surprise as Free stood taller and held up his tablet, as if it was the equivalent of Thor's hammer. Vasquez quickly averted his eyes and hurried toward the double doors that led to the elevators.
"Something really weird is going on between you two," Mason squinted at Free. "First he was bullying you. Now you got him cowering like a wet dog. What did I miss?"
"Surely you haven't missed his big-ass boyfriend that heads up the SWAT team, have you?"
Clark snorted.
"Captain Hart is a nice deterrent for Vasquez to leave Freeman alone."
"Free can take care of himself," Mason interjected, drawing a sweet smile from Free.
He didn't like to think of his friend as the timid, nervous guy he'd met last year that had let a bully almost run him away from his new family. Free was a lot more confident now, and he'd more than proven that. Though he wasn't a law enforcement officer, he was still an integral member of God and Day's narcotics team. His ingenious inventions for first responders had already saved multiple lives in the short time he'd been there. That's right. I do not need Ivan to fight my battles. Don't you boys worry about that piece of shit Vasquez. His day is coming. Free tapped a few times on his tablet, which didn't look like any Samsung product Mason had ever seen, then turned his attention on them with a shit-eating grin on his face. I just turned the water off again at his house. I heard he has a thing about showering at the station. It supposedly grosses him out. Holy shit, Carter chuckled quietly. That's messed up, Free. I think you can control the goddamn world from that one device you carry all the time. I can, Free mumbled while ushering Mason out of his seat and taking over his computer. Vasquez is my bitch now. I will keep playing with his ass until I get bored. Then I am going to end him. Working for God is really rubbing off on you, Mason whispered. He and Clark laughed off Free's declaration, but Mason had a sinking feeling that Free was telling the truth. It was no longer a secret that God and Day had somehow managed to secure one of the best hackers in the world for their team. And working for the Atlanta Police Department was a good way for Lennox Freeman to stay off the terrorists' search list. Okay, your request is all sent. Remember, I told you, you have to close completely out of VWS before you can send department mail. If you're working in the victim's witness statements application, it won't let you... Send other correspondence, Mason hurried to finish, snapping his fingers. Fuck, that's right. Mason grimaced, wishing there was some way he could become more computer savvy that didn't require months of schooling. But at age 33, he was afraid that ship had sailed long ago. He's told you that 5 times, numbnuts, Clark rolled his eyes. Free, why do you keep rescuing this guy? I think you should report his gross incompetence to his LT. Do you have any idea how long it takes Mace to finish our damn reports? It's absurd. I can't help myself, Free smiled that sexy mature grin that always made Mason have to look away. After he shut down Mason's computer, he stood and draped his arms around his shoulders from behind and whispered in Mason's ear, I have a thing for technically challenged men. If he didn't already know that Free was head over heels in love with his boyfriend, he'd swear the man was flirting with him. Mason made sure to school his features and control his body's natural reaction. It didn't matter that he had a brilliant, handsome, wonderful-smelling man clinging to his back, his slim chest pressing against Mason's Kevlar. He couldn't get fucking hard. Heaven forbid someone even thought he was making a play for the SWAT captain's first and only boyfriend. Well, shit, if that's what you like, then Mason should really turn your crank. Clark stood and put on his heavy polyester coat over his uniform. It was past time for them to be on the road and on the radio. Hey, you leave my fantasy man alone, Free smirked. And Clark, you sure didn't mind when I helped you with your little satellite cable problem after the tech company was dragging their ass and you couldn't watch Monday Night Football 2 weeks in a row? Clark waved him off. That's different. We're talking football against fast, accurate police reports. One far outweighs the other. You guys are crazy. I'm out of here. I have only got a few minutes to grab some dinner and get back inside, Free said, releasing Mason's stiff shoulders. Mace, if you need me, you know where to find me. You're working tonight? Mason asked, putting on his own winter jacket. Yep. We're all going to be pulling some long hours while we try to figure out when in the bloody hell these drugs are going to hit the streets, Free said. He and Clark both dropped the joking and turned serious. Has God got anything concrete, or should none of us make plans for the new year? Free glanced around before lowering his deep voice. He wasn't supposed to share the task force's leads with anyone since the entire department was currently under IA investigation for officers that were on the take, but Free had long ago determined he could trust Mason. He has a pretty good idea. The Enforcers Rux, Green, Tech, and Steel are bringing in dealers every night, trying to get to the big man. He and Day think we're close. I'm sure if anyone can get that bastard, it's God, Clark nodded. Yeah, God always gets his man. But still, be careful out there. This new drug has a combination of synthetics that causes symptoms of psychosis, so some of these users and dealers are becoming more unpredictable. Mason and Clark glanced at each other, silently communicating that they'd keep that under strict advisement. They were always careful, but Free was warning them of a potentially new threat. Thanks, Free. I will be on the comms all night. Mason, you know what channel to use if you need me. Free said and strolled through the bullpen, waving to a few other officers who were also just as fascinated with him as Mason was.
You know, kid, being saddled with a whippersnapper like you is beginning to have its perks, Clark said as they walked through the parking lot to their patrol car.
Don't you fucking start, Mason laughed. But of course his partner continued. This was his second favorite thing to tease him about after his computer illiteracy.
You got fucking Lennox Freeman, a man that has the capability to eliminate someone's existence with the click of a few buttons on his tablet, drooling all over your cluelessness and keeping an eye on us while we're patrolling.
Clark opened his door.
A guy could do worse.
Chapter 2 Jesse.
I feel like I'm going to throw up, Worm.
Jesse, you're going to be all right, man. You know this is the only way.
Jesse chewed on his bottom lip as he paced back and forth behind the Greyhound bus he was supposed to board along with the 20 or so other passengers headed to Atlanta. He did know this was the only way out of his messed up situation, so he tightened the straps of his backpack and hefted his large leather duffel bag onto his shoulder. With his phone still pressed firmly against his ear, Jesse got on the bus and slowly made his way to one of the seats in the back. He didn't want anyone to see how terrified he was. Leaving in the middle of the night to an unknown city with only a few bucks in his bank account wasn't the smartest move he and Worm could have come up with, but it was all they had.
"Do you think he saw you leave?"
Worm asked after Jesse stuffed his duffel underneath his seat. Jesse chewed on his thumbnail as he checked the dark parking lot.
"I don't think so."
"Did he hurt you, Jess?"
Worm bit out.
"Tell me the truth. Did he do something to you?"
"No. But the suggestions were getting more and more," Jesse whispered. He wasn't going to stop trying, Worm.
"Oh, this is such bullshit. I should have just kept my damn mouth shut until it was time to go back to school."
Worm sighed in exasperation.
"That was your home, Jesse. You shouldn't have to be harassed every time you go on break or come home to visit."
"I did the right thing telling my aunt, right?"
"Yes," Worm agreed. "Your uncle is a closeted cheating son of a bitch, and your aunt will come around. She's just shocked and mad. Give her some time, dude."
Jesse nodded as if he was trying to convince himself.
"I had no choice. She needed to know."
He thought of how devastated and heartbroken his aunt looked after he told her that her husband had been coming on to him, that the man she'd been married to for the last 11 years had been secretly craving cock, his cock, and heaven knows who else's. Jesse had come to live with his aunt and uncle after his mother passed away from a brain aneurysm 4 years ago. Aunt Sonia was the only family his mother had left after she divorced her husband and came out as a lesbian to her conservative family. His aunt hadn't been enthusiastic about taking him in since she didn't have kids and enjoyed her freedom, but he'd been 19 back then, and it helped that he came with a hefty life insurance policy. His mother had made the decision to raise him on her own, and she'd always put him first in every part of her life. Even in her death, she made sure he'd have the tools he needed to be okay. After the funeral, he'd thrown himself into preparing for his first year of college instead of focusing on the hole in his chest where his mother had been. When he'd come home from the dorm on break, he would notice the way his uncle Robert had tried to hang around in his bedroom a little too often. He wasn't a fool, and he hadn't been a young man too lost in his grief to know what was happening. But Jesse had managed to duck and dodge Robert's flirty bullshit for 4.5 years. However, his advances were getting blatant, and he was done. So he'd taken his best friend's advice and told his aunt the truth. After she broke down in front of him and called him a liar, she told him he had to leave.
"Jess," Worm said a little louder, breaking him from his thoughts.
"Yeah, I'm here."
I've been making some decent money, Jesse. So I can help you out until you can find a job. It shouldn't take you no time with your degree, Worm said again, going over his plan. As long as you're contributing to the bills, my dad won't mind.
What did he say about me staying there?
Jesse's knee began to shake as the bus driver stuck her head out the door and yelled for all to board. Worm was quiet for too long, making Jesse's stomach flip inside out.
Felix, you did tell him I was coming, right?
When Jesse was met with more silence, he leaped from his seat, but the bus was already moving.
Stay seated while I'm in motion, sweetie,
the driver blared loud enough that he drew attention from the other passengers. Jesse eased down in his seat, trying to take long, calming breaths. He had a one-way ticket to a place he didn't have permission to be.
You've got to be messing with me. Jesse, don't get nervous. I didn't tell my dad because he's hardly ever there, and when I do come in, I stay in my room. I'll tell him when you get here that you're going to help out with the bills and some of the handiwork that needs done. Handiwork, Jesse snarled. Worm, I wouldn't know which end of a hammer to hit the nail with, for shit's sake.
What have you done, man?
Don't worry. He works all the time. He's not going to be focused on us.
Worm tried, but he wasn't able to disguise the hurt in his voice.
He doesn't have shit to say to me unless he's coming down on me for getting in trouble.
Well, not anymore, because I'll be around to make sure you keep your nose clean and finish your diploma, Jesse said.
He tried to focus on something positive and not frighten himself with all the negative thoughts that were trying to consume him.
Right? Worm said with more enthusiasm. Wait until I show him I got my GED. He'll have no choice but to acknowledge that shit because he'll no longer be able to call me a lazy-ass dropout.
I'm really sorry about you and your dad's relationship, Worm.
But you know he loves you, right? He just doesn't want you running with those bad crowds anymore.
Jesse pinched the wrinkled skin between his brows.
You've been arrested twice already. If my mom knew that I was headed towards...
I know, I'm sorry, Worm sighed. That's why I'm glad you're coming, bro. When he sees me hanging out with a college grad, he'll love it.
If you say so.
I do. Worm agreed. Just enjoy the long 10-hour bus ride, and I'll be waiting for you at the station. My house isn't too far from there, cool?
Jesse rubbed at the pounding near his left temple.
Yeah, cool. Can't wait to see you again, bro. It took you way too long to finish school.
Most colleges are 4 years, dipshit.
Whatever, Brainiac. You should have done it in 2 then.
Jesse disconnected the call with a smile curving his lips. Everyone was quiet as the bus made its way down the long stretch of dark highway. Jesse thought of this as the next phase in his life, adulthood, and he decided to embrace it instead of running in the opposite direction.
This could be the start of an amazing new year.
Chapter 3 Mason.
Good evening, officers.
The sound of Erlene's cheerful voice and the sweet smell of freshly baked cinnamon rolls greeted them when they walked inside the busy bakery at the corner of Decatur and Edgewood Avenue.
Officer Clark, hello.
Erlene, what's it going to take to get you to call me Joshua, huh?
Mason's partner said on his way into the store. He stood a few inches from the counter and smiled down at the 5-foot petite lady with stars flashing in his eyes. Mason couldn't believe his big, tough sergeant turned into a big sap any time he spoke to the older woman. Erlene was more mature than Clark, with her silver hair and deep laugh lines around her hazel eyes. But she had the bubbliest personality and the prettiest smile he'd ever seen. And she loved to turn it on full beam when his partner walked in. Sure, she was polite to him as well, but she never offered Mason extra icing on his cinnamon roll, or doodled hearts with the caramel drizzle on his apple tart. Erlene's cheeks turned a soft pink as she carefully tucked a few tendrils of hair behind her ear.
I suppose it's just habit, officer. Or maybe it's the uniform.
Clark rumbled, still staring and smiling. After a few long moments of awkwardness and a customer clearing her throat behind them, Mason subtly elbowed his partner in his side.
We better get going?
Yeah, right.
Clark snapped out of whatever daze he'd been in and started to survey the new additions to the display case.
I'll have the usual cruller, and those over there look good.
I remember you mentioning liking lemon pastries and not being able to get them in the supermarket in the winter. So, I made some mini lemon buns with iced frosting and toasted marshmallow shavings.
Arlene wrung her fingers in her purple apron.
A little of your spring mixed with my winter.
Mason gaped, and Arlene seemed to realize how that sounded now that it was out of her mouth and flushed an even darker shade of rose. Clark's chest literally expanded beneath his bulletproof vest as he politely asked for a dozen.
A whole dozen? Mason hissed close to Clark's shoulder. That's overkill, Sarge.
Shut up. I'll do an extra half hour on the elliptical in the morning. Clark said out of the corner of his mouth while Erling turned to fill his order, adding a large coffee with a splash of vanilla syrup and two Splendas, just how Clark liked it.
Here you go, Officer Clark.
Erling touched her fingertips to her lips, cutting herself off.
I mean, Joshua?
Clark spread his mustache wider than Mason ever got the privilege to see and reached in his back pocket for his wallet.
Hello, I'll have a lemon bunt, too, and a caramel latte, Mason added with a crooked grin.
Man, he couldn't wait to tease his friend when they got back in the car.
Oh, of course, Officer Mason.
Erlene laughed and shook her head, as if she was behaving silly, and filled Mason's order as well. Clark paid for their order and left Erlene a generous tip, as usual. His partner stilled after he took his bag like he was contemplating saying something else, but ended up just standing there like a tongue-tied fool.
Just ask her out, you moron.
Mason gritted his teeth, almost wanting to lend his helpless partner a hand, because this was pitiful. He didn't understand what was so hard about asking a lady out. Granted, he'd never done it, but it couldn't be that hard. Mason was gay, and even he could tell Erlene was giving off those ask-for-my-number vibes. Clark stared into Erlene's kind eyes before he chickened out, like he always did, and said a rushed goodbye.
Thank you, Erlene. You have a good night.
Erlene's smile fell a little as she waved at Clark's back.
You two be safe out there.
Mason tipped his latte at her in thanks, then followed his partner to their squad car. Clark pointed a finger in his face before Mason could open his mouth.
Don't you even think about it.
Mason barked a startled laugh.
I didn't say anything.
Then don't, Clark growled, looking as if he could kick his own ass. So Mason cut him some slack.
I don't know why you don't just ask her out,
Mason shrugged. He checked their computer to make sure they were in the correct application to receive calls so Clark didn't bite his head off.
It's complicated, okay?
Clark said and shoved half of a mini-cake in his mouth. He moaned loud enough to make Mason scoff, but Mason ended up forgiving him after he took his own bite.
Fuck, that's good, Mason said. Is that the toasty marshmallow things tasting like that? God damn it. I know, right?
Clark was already reaching for his second one.
Imagine if I could eat these things all the time.
It looks like you can, buddy, Mason frowned.
And I don't know what's so complex. She obviously likes you, and you like her.
Clark began to chew slowly, his scruffy jaws working the delicate cake around in his mouth to avoid commenting. Mason could see the fear and the uncertainty in his friend, but the only way to fail was to not even try. Instead of badgering him, he shut his mouth and listened.
Remember that woman I dated a couple years ago?
Clark flicked a few crumbs from his beard and off his jacket. Mason nodded.
Jacqueline, Jasmine, or Jackie, something?
He remembered things had been going okay between those two until Clark injured his back after taking a tumble down a flight of stairs with a suspect. The woman he'd called his lady hadn't stuck around long enough for the orthopedic specialist to confirm Clark would be fine. She'd texted him goodbye, stating she could no longer stay up half the night worrying if he'd come home safely. It was a valid concern, but a shitty way to go about communicating it.
Yeah, Jackie, Jamie, Clark gritted out.
What about her? Mason crumpled up his bag, then took a long sip of his hot latte, enjoying the warmth as it coated his insides.
Atlanta in December didn't get snow, but there was still a bite.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?